I am covering, as you can tell, Pastor Dan's teaching this morning, and we're going to get in the Word, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit first. It's been a while since, I can't remember, maybe last fall I got to teach and minister to you guys. I think all my youth is in here. It's been a blessing being able to minister to the youth, and yeah, we're in here, bro. Yeah, try to keep in contact with them. It's a great, great blessing. I know one thing that I've learned is that you get more comfortable in teaching little bits. You have to teach two or three times a week. You have to get in the Word and teach on things, which sometimes can be dangerous because you get in the Word to learn how to teach and not how to get in the Word to kind of clean yourself. So that's one thing in the midst of it that I've learned. It's like Jesse still needs to worry about my own unclean vessel in the midst of attempting to teach youth and attempting to teach young people. That's what we're in the middle of right now. I do praise the Lord to be here today. One thing I always want to share with people that go to church and that are just believers that people that sit under a teaching that aren't necessarily in a ministry or aren't necessarily involved in traveling and preaching. I like to portray sometimes what's happening out there. I know we get word from the news, you guys do, and from your phones and social media, and then what you hear from friends and at church. But I know a lot of you probably don't know many missionaries or traveling missionaries, and one reoccurring theme that I'm getting to see and hear right now is something that's really, really incredible in the kingdom's work, and that is just essentially if you desire the presence of God at this point in time in your life, if you're sick of the world, if you're sick of seeking out things of the world and it's not feeding you and you've decided, I'm going to turn to the Lord to get my food, I'm going to turn to the Lord to get my drink, at this time, in this age, He is so willing to give it. If there's ever been a time in someone's life that I can see someone or meet someone that is not a Christian, that's not a believer, but they desire to pray, that is happening more than I've ever seen before. Someone being like, I don't know what in the world's going on, but I desire to pray. I desire to have a relationship with the Lord. Buddy, right now is the time. There's things happening. There's things shaking in the world right now in the kingdom. And God is like, if you come hungry, you will by golly leave full. And that is happening right now. We had a men's conference a few weeks ago, and I had a missionary friend from Nicaragua come and just help me out, just do some of the logistic work with me. And he got to minister into some men, and we get to see these things, God move in other countries. Brokenness is the secret, by the way. If we can go into a culture or a country that is overwhelmed with brokenness, I got a really good feeling that God's going to move when I'm there, because a lot of the work that I'm going to have to attempt to do to break somebody is already gone. Already, the work that I feel the Holy Spirit needs to do, that's already been taken care of. And my friend Chris came, and he's from Nicaragua. We've ministered off in the mountains, off up the rivers in Central America. And when he left, he said, Jesse, this was a mission trip. He said, I've never seen a move of God like what we saw there in the United States ever. And I feel the same way. No, for no glory given to anybody but the Lord. And it's because men are hungry. It's because women are hungry. It's because we've looked for another way out. We've tried all these other little angles to find answers. And we've left there hungry again and again and again. But we decided to go to the presence of God, and God was like, I've been waiting for you the whole time. So it's an interesting thing. Right now, we all should feel very lucky to be alive in this day and age, to be honest with you. T- to see the things I believe that we're going to see through the bride of Christ and through the Holy Spirit, and to be allowed to be used by God in such a way, in such a dark time, is an absolute honor. It's going to be an absolute honor to you for the Holy Spirit to be used through you. I think for sure generations, but maybe centuries. Maybe centuries will not have seen what this nation is going to be able to see and this world is going to be able to see, for none other but the glory of God to be seen. That's what I believe. That is our hope. And there's a lot of talk concerning revivals happening here, revivals happening there. I'm not there at this moment in time, so I can't tell you, but I can tell you that every one of our desires should absolutely be, Lord, please help that be a revival. Our desire should not be, oh, because it's not in front of me or in front of this denomination, or this person isn't leading up this revival. Our heart should not be, oh, that's not true. We should be, Lord, please allow that to be revival and let it spark something so strong that it comes across our nation like a wave, comes across the whole generation like a wave, or the whole world like a wave of the Holy Spirit that we can't control. That should be the desire of a Christian right now. Above every other thing, we should desire revival. Above every other thing, we should desire the Spirit of God in our life. Above every other thing, we should desire a brokenness in us that separates us from the old us. Above every other thing. That's what we should desire. I'm in my circle. When I first got into ministry, I didn't know all the ministry lingo. And I still have trouble with the ministry lingo. But our circle of friends are independent missionaries. That means they're not under a congregation, not under a convention. And what you learn when you meet these people is they have a very deep level of faith, as in, we didn't go to somebody and ask to be sent into the mission field. God told us to go, and we went off like we were an idiot and did it. We just went off and did it. And what's cool about these people are they are so wholly committed to the presence of God and the Spirit of God that God goes with them. You can almost guarantee that if this person is an independent missionary, not under anything else, they have a story that is really, really incredible and very, very hard to believe. So there's those people, and then there's those people and independent missionaries that can be crooks and used to be in jail or something. Watch out for those guys. I get along with both of them for some reason, but I watch out for some of them. You got to test the waters, you know what I mean? One of my best friends in ministry, he actually was a neo-Nazi, and he was in prison for 6 years, and two of those years in solitary confinement. Yeah, 6x8 cell for 2 whole years, and he was listening to a radio. Someone like 2 cells down had a radio playing what's his name? Sunlight Broadcasting radio station, huh? Jimmy Swaggart, yeah, the guy with not the best testimony at the moment, but God was using him at this moment in time. And in that 6x8 cell, his name Zach Smith, came to know the Lord in front of absolutely nobody, and completely changed his life. So pray for your independent missionaries. Pray for those people that are seeking the face of God, wanting to glorify nothing but the presence of God, and allow the Lord to move through them. I've talked enough this morning. I'm comfortable now, so you guys can praise the Lord. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to talk about something this morning that's been burdening my heart for a while, and it's just kind of not left me. I'm allowed to teach many things, and you know, as a teacher, you have time with people, and you can teach expositionally through something, chapter and verse, and chapter and verse, and dissect things. When you have one teaching with a group of people or preaching, you got to kind of hit the ground running, and that's somewhat what I'm used to in the mission field. I may have four teaching engagements or five with a group of pastors in Nigeria, or I get to go to Nicaragua to one town and preach one time, and another place and preach one time. So I got to really be asking the Lord, Lord, what is your Holy Spirit speaking? Not what is Jesse comfortable about preaching about? Not what do I even think these people need? We can trick ourselves by asking what the greatest need is in that area, which isn't a bad thing to do, but sometimes the Lord knows the greatest need in that area more than we do. So we sit and listen to the Lord. So Exodus chapter 3, we'll go to verse 2. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire with a bush. As Moses looked, he saw the bush was on fire and was not consumed. So Moses thought, I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. Why isn't the bush burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, he answered. Do not come closer, he said. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. This scripture is funny. While I was thinking and praying about this yesterday, we have a little boy named Josiah who's 3 years old, and I was walking in and out of the kitchen in the living room, and he was hiding on one end of the couch, and he said, I'm not doing nothing. And he looked up at me, and I said, what? He said, I'm not doing nothing, Daddy. And he had a smile on his face. I said, what are you doing, brother? And he held up a marker, and he said, I'm not doing nothing. He was drawing on one end of the couch with a marker. I was too tired to get onto him, so I was like, just don't draw on the walls. You can draw on the couch, just not the walls right now. It's the same thing with Moses. There's nowhere we can hide from the presence of God that's going to hide our sin from him. That's why so many of the of crimes and everything are at nighttime, and cops and ambulances and firemen are so busy around 12 at night, because we feel like we can get away with something because the world can't see us. I tell you today, God can see you. Every waking second of the day, he knows your heart, and it's exposed to him, and he knows the deepest parts of you. He knows them. There's nothing you can do about it. He knows them and he sees it. But in the presence of God, Moses did not know that until now. And now he's in the presence of God so strongly for the very first time, and the only thing that he desires to do is turn his face from the presence of God. I can't look upon it. We can't look upon something. Boy, there's something incredible about holiness of God, the perfection of God, the shine of God when it comes in contact with a being like ourselves. Something weird happens. And so, maybe it's not the same every single time, but I can guarantee you, when holiness is in front of you, your body will react in a way that is not normal. And usually it's turning your face away from it. Many, many times this happened in Scripture when Jesus would be speaking to somebody and they would come back with a question. He would jump right over that question and answer really what was in their heart. And he would tell them, this right here is essentially what you're trying to hide from me. This right here is exactly really what you want to know. They're trying to hide their face from him. We'll move up to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Listen to this, you guys. Moses said to the Lord, Look, you have told me, lead this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have indeed found favor in your sight, please teach me your ways, and I will know you and find favor in your sight. Now consider that this nation is your people. Then he replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If your presence does not go, does not go, Moses responded to him, don't make us go up from here. How will it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight unless you go with us? I see it as like a little kid not wanting to go to another room in the dark. It's like, will you go with me? Will you go with me? I want to make sure that everything's okay. Will you please go with me? I and your people will be distinguished by this from all the other people on the face of the earth. The Lord answered Moses, I will do this very thing you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Listen to this next part. Then Moses said, please let me see your glory. Verse 19, he said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you. A lot different from Exodus chapter 3, wasn't it? At this point in time, Moses has gotten to know the Lord. Moses has gotten to know Yahweh. He got to see him. He got to take steps of faith in the desert. He got to take steps of faith in Egypt. He got to see the deliverance of the Hebrew people. He got to see the hand of God in an overwhelming way. And now it's much different in front of the presence of God. Instead of hiding his face and being so scared in front of him, he asked him, let me see your face. He doesn't turn his face and think, don't look upon my sin. Don't look upon everything that's not good in my life. I want you to look in me because I know you're the only one that can fix me. And now I want to be able to see you too. That's what Moses' desire was at this point in time. You know, in this conversation, it makes me think, this is the point he was wanting to get to, let me see your glory. All that other stuff, he was like, you know, some of you ladies and gentlemen, when you were dating possibly the person that you're sitting next to and have been married to for many years, you're making conversation in your whole mind, you're like, I'm going to ask her out any minute now. I'm waiting for the right time. Oh, gosh, I'm just trying to test the waters here. Oh, it's not good. It's not good. Okay, finally, will you go out on a date with me? I feel that Moses is that right there in that verse. He's like, will you go with us? He knows God's going to go with him. God promised that he was going to go with him. He said many, many times, I will go with you. Okay, good, good, good. Will you let me see your face? Will you let me see your face? Will you allow your glory at a moment in time to come over me so I can see the depths of your heart because I do not understand it? That's what Moses really wanted to get into right there in that verse. Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. We're talking about the veil today, you guys. We're not even talking about the other things, but I kind of had to build something so you understood. Exodus 34, verse 28. Moses was there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. He wrote down on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Verse 29. Moses' radiant face. As Moses descended from Mount Sinai with two tablets of testimony in his hand, as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin on his face shone as a result of him speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin on his face shone, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. After all the Israelites came near, and he commanded them everything the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai, when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put the veil back over his face. Whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with them, he would remove the veil until he came out. After he came out, he would tell the Israelites what he had been commanded, and the Israelites would see that Moses' face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with the Lord. Brother Ryan Jennings, will you pray for me? Just yell out a prayer for me real quick, brother. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. Moses' radiant face. So at this point in time, Moses was so lucky that he got to be in front of the presence of God multiple times. No one previous to Moses had had the experiences with the presence of God that Moses had. He had never got to hear about it. He had never got to see it through somebody else. He himself had to experience for himself. He comes up into the presence of God, and at this point in time, this is well past the time where he asked to see the face of God. He had a relationship with God. He knew the Lord. It said the Lord knew him. He says, I speak to you face to face. And Moses, more than anybody at the world at this point in time, to generations before him, he knew God. And there was one day he went up into the presence of God. And when he got the instructions from the Lord, he came down and it says that his face shone. Another word that they use is his face was radiant, such to the point that all the people that saw him coming were afraid. Such to the point that everyone that knew the old Moses that would go up and down from the presence of God, he came down this time and it was not the same Moses. It was some different Moses that was shining with the glory of God. Easy preaching here. When you get too close to the Lord, you scare people. It's very, very true. When you get too close to the Lord, you scare people. And there's a level of Christianity that so shines to a degree that the world is scared in front of you and they want nothing to do with you. But I tell you right now, there's a level of Christianity and closeness to the Lord that you can be so close that your shine even makes Christians uncomfortable. Your shine even makes church people uncomfortable. It says that he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. If there was a list, if there was a thing to do to get the radiance of God, to get the presence of God so that it flowed out of you, that's the secret right there. You stay in it. You go to the presence of God. You don't eat, you don't drink for however long the Lord tells you to, and you stay there until the Lord gives you that. Whatever that desire is, whatever that brokenness is that you desire, whatever the presence of God is that you desire, he desires you to have it, and he wants you to know he's the only one that can give it. When Moses would come down from the mountain, he would speak what God told him to speak. And then he would put the veil over his face. When his veil was open was in front of the presence of God. So when his veil was open, what his face would receive. His face would not only give out, it would receive. So he put his face in front of the presence of God and his face would radiate. What is your face in front of today? How many of us are opened up in front of the presence of God in the Word of God or in prayer so much that our face radiates? Or are we so consumed with news? Are we so consumed with the things on our phone? Are we so consumed with the gossip of the day and attempting to know the circle around us that our shine starts to dwindle? That our shine starts to get a little bit dim? If I were to look at the church today, as in the church as a whole, the church in the United States, I would wonder if the definition or if someone would point at us and say, they shine. I feel like it would be more like they're pretty dim. They're pretty dim. There's not something that's blind in my eyes anymore. There's not something that's blind in me from looking at the presence of God anymore. I feel like it's pretty dim. Whatever that thing is, whatever it is, the phone, the bad news from your family, negativity, being in the midst of whatever it is that you're receiving, that's the time to pull the veil over your face. That's the time to pull the veil over your face and block all that other stuff. And when you come to the presence of God, when you come into a fellowship of believers, when you come into prayer, when you come into the Word of God, that's when you take off the veil. And that's when you let it feed you. That's when you let the shine, the warmth come over you. That way you're actually useful afterwards. It says that he would shine when he came down and spoke unto the people. We are only useful of what we get from the Lord. We minister only out of the overflow. if we are dry, if we give out and give out and give out and we don't fill back up, we will never give out. This is not a physical thing that we do. This is not a physical thing that we're involved in the Spirit of God. It's thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is a spiritual thing that we're involved in. And the only way that we can feed it is through feeding ourselves spiritually. The only way that we can feed others is to feed them spiritually. He would come out to the people, and he would start speaking exactly what the Lord told him to. They were scared. I would have loved to have seen their faces the first time he came down, at least the first time. And right afterwards, he would cover his face with the veil, as in to say, I'm not taking in all the negativity of the Hebrew people. I'm not taking in all the negativity, all the doubt that you've put me in the middle in. I will not do it. I only receive from the presence of God. I only receive from the Word of God. I only receive from prayer. That's the only place I receive. God has promises for every single person in this room that override your physical abilities, that override what your family thinks about you, override what people and friends think about you. And the only way that you can keep that in the forefront of your mind is to receive from the Lord. Open the veil to him. And when the other starts rushing your way, you close it like it's a garage door, buddy. Slam it right in his face. Do not let the enemy attempt to come against you with his words of negativity. I'm not saying to bury your head in the sand and act like these things going on around you are not bad. What I'm saying is you will not be able to affect the world around you and the negativity around you if you let that seep into yourself. Let the Word of God seep into you. Let fellowship and prayer seep into you. That's the only way you're effective in this time. That's the absolutely only way we will be effective in this time is if we open up our veils to the Lord and we shut it to the world. We shut it to the world. One thing that's incredible about this verse with Moses is his heart when he came into the presence of God and God's heart toward him. You guys remember when he was going through the desert, he was so concerned, or when he was delivering the people out of Egypt, he was so concerned with the issues at hand. He was so concerned about what Pharaoh said. He was so concerned about what Pharaoh was fixing to do and all the trouble, the trials, the fear of the people, everything. That was on the forefront of his mind. Later on in his relationship with God, I can guarantee you he was so in the midst of the presence of God that he wasn't thinking about Pharaoh anymore. He wasn't thinking about parting the Red Sea anymore. He was so in the presence of God, enamored by it, that all those things grew strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Every bit of it was so strangely dim. The problems that you face, the problems that you are facing, the fear, the mortgage, the health problems. God's saying, come into my presence and let me shine on you. Let me shine on you so you can shine to the world today. Let me take all those things that worry you and you say like Moses, I just want to see your face. I understand that my people are stubborn and they're a pain in your butt because they're a pain in my butt, but I want to see your face. I want to be in your presence. I want to sit there 40 days and 40 nights. I want to sit there. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Every person of that tribe of Hebrews should have been in that tabernacle seeking the face of God when Moses brought that up. They should have been laying down on their face, crying out to God, desiring his presence because of what they did. But they were too engulfed in the circle around them. You remember what Pharaoh did to us. You remember when we were slaves. You remember the desert when God just gave us manna. You remember when this happened. And God is like, I'm attempting to do a new thing in you, and you won't sit in front of me long enough to receive it. Second Corinthians chapter 3, Paul speaks about the new covenant ministry. There's a section of this verse or this chapter that I somewhat skip over just so I don't have to explain it, but I will anyways right now. Paul says that Moses would cover and hide his face for a, he uses the words, fading glory. But he's talking about the fading glory as of the old covenant, not because Moses was hiding his face, attempting to be deceptive to the people. There are some theologians that have said that, but those guys just don't know what they're talking about. You would have to say then that Moses was deceptive. And Moses was never deceptive to God or to his people. He was right across the board. To a fault, if you guys would agree with me. He was honest as can be, regardless of what his emotion was. Moses would say whatever was on his heart and whatever the Lord told him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Now if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the sons of Israel were not able to look directly at Moses' face because the glory from his face, a fading glory, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? That is your ministry, you guys. That is the ministry that God is attempting to push onto you. The ministry of the Spirit will be more glorious. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, that's the ministry of the Old Testament, that's the Ten Commandments, that's the tabernacle, that's the burnt offerings, that's the incense altar, that's all that. The ministry of righteousness overflows with what? Even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious in this case because of the glory that surpasses it. It means all that glory that they were afraid of that was on the face of Moses is absolutely nothing in the front of the presence of God with this covenant. With this covenant, the old covenant with what Moses brought to us with condemnation, as nothing, has absolutely no weight when it stands in front of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Absolutely no weight when it stands in front of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the life of the Holy Spirit through believers. For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious. Move on down to verse 18. We all, everyone in this room, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is a Spirit. If someone were to point at us today and say, are they going from glory to glory or are they going from problem to problem? Look at the man who wrote this, who had been shipwrecked, who had been beat, who had been stoned. And he says, I turn back and look at the trail that God had brought me through. And I don't think that I could say problem to problem to problem. I say glory to glory to glory, because the Spirit of God was glorified through every single problem that I had. Because it's not me who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I need to decrease and he needs to increase. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, do not dare. Why would you put a light and cover it with a bushel? Put it on the lampstand so it overflows into the bedroom, so it overflows into the bathroom, so it overflows into the kitchen. He says, you are a light of the world, a city on a hill. If you guys have ever been in an airplane flying over flyover states, over Central America, over Mexico, where you'll be for an hour and there'll be no light, no cities under you. You know, the plane's going multiple hundred miles an hour and it's just complete darkness underneath you besides the lights that's coming off the wings. And you will see one little village or one little house out in the middle of the mountains with a little light bulb from up to 30,000 foot in the air. You will see that light bulb, because the darker it is around us, the more that light shines. The darkness in this world today that we're so obsessed with, that we're so scared of, I welcome, because the Spirit of God is fixing to be the most powerful shining light, like a spotlight that blinds the enemy to death. That's what we're fixing to be allowed to see by the Holy Spirit. The darkness can overcome whatever it wants to, but the light shines out of the darkness. Every single time, the light shines out of the darkness. Go into the presence of God. Allow him to shine into you with your unveiled face. Let him pour into you. Get the calling of God, whatever he's telling you to do, and you go out and you fulfill that calling, and then you shut that door like a bad guy's coming through or something. Shut the veil. Don't receive from the world. Don't receive from negativity of the world. Don't receive from anything else. You only receive from the presence of God. Fulfill that calling, just like Moses did. He came down and said exactly what God told him to say, and then he shut the curtain over his face. And then you go back into the presence of God, and you open that up, and you get filled up again from the presence of God. Allow the light to shine through you guys, Fairview. Do not allow the darkness to overcome you. And there's so many people nowadays, people of God, people in ministry, people that are saints of the Lord that have been seeking the face of God are being overcome with depression. That's not the promise of God. Depression, anxiety, anger. I myself, the last year or two, have been over anger that I didn't know that I could even have. That's not our promise. That's not what God desires of us. He desires glory to glory, and that only can come if we are receiving from the presence of God, sitting inside of his presence, and that is his desire for every single person in this room.